Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Solara Active Pharma Sciences Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Singhal. Thank you, and over to you.
Thanks, Sanford. A very good afternoon to all of you, and thank you for joining us today for Solara Active Pharma Sciences earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and full year ended financial year 2022. Today we have with us Arun, Founder and Non-Executive Director, Jitesh, MD, and Hari, ED and CFO, to share the highlights of the business and financials for the quarter. I hope you've gone through our results release and the quarterly investor presentation, which have been uploaded on our website as well as the stock exchange website. The transcript of this call will be available in a week's time on the company's website. Please note that today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature and must be reviewed in relation to the risks pertaining to our business. After the end of this call, in case you have any further questions, please feel free to reach out to the investor relations team. I now hand over the call to Arun to make the opening remarks.
Thank you, Abhishek. Appreciate everybody's time today. It's been an important day for Solara as we kind of reversed certain corporate actions that we took almost 18 months ago. At that time when the deal was announced, I was on this call, and today, consequently, with the deal being called off, I thought it was appropriate for me to address the initial part of the conversation to explain the rationale behind it. Just in terms of full disclosure, you know, as promoters, we also own Aurore, which was a private API company that was being built to scale. When we announced this transaction, both Aurore and Solara were delivering the highest business performance, riding the highs of the API industry, general shortages of APIs and the demand around it. Regretfully, the deal has taken a lot of time to close, and obviously deal fatigue emerged in terms of a transaction which takes so much time to close. While we had spent a lot of time on the strategy and also the integration, in terms of the process, we appointed a first-class international banker. We had a third-party valuation that was done, and also, we had filed our documents with the SEBI. However, there were some issues with the minority shareholder in one of the subsidiaries of Aurore, which resulted in a change of the scheme, took a lot more time, and consequently, we finally received all the necessary approvals from the NCLT to submit to the NCLT just a couple of months ago. In the interim period, obviously, Solara's businesses were severely impacted with the headwinds that we faced with the lack of ibuprofen sales and the challenges around that business and some of the course corrections that we took several quarters ago. This resulted in a significant drop in Solara's margins, but the same impacts of another type also was impacting the financial performance of Aurore. While Solara's performance has been depressed, we still do have an EBITDA that where we can grow from here. Unfortunately, with an overdependence on COVID products in the case of Aurore and with the in the recent 6 months, we have seen a lack of demand for the primary tactical products that Aurore was selling, dropping significantly where the economics does not make any more sense for the Solara shareholders to keep the ratios intact. It would not be appropriate for us to then recommend to the board that the, as promoters, that the merger should go through. This is the reason why the merger was called off. We've had significant progress with the strategic intent. There's a lot of value in what the two companies were creating. And we believe that there are ways and means in on an arm's length basis that we can benefit from those opportunities. We'll continue to focus on that. But at this time, the most important challenge for the company was to rebuild its business, rebuild its confidence with all its stakeholders and customers and its employees especially. And for that reason today, we decided that it is best that we focus on an organic strategy for Solara, keep aside all the inorganic actions and move forward. But most importantly, I'm extremely delighted to have Jitesh back to run the company as the CEO. This is an important step for Strides, for Solara Technologies, as Jitesh and Hari, who we announced as a CFO in the last earnings call, to come back to Solara to rebuild the company with their deep insights of the business itself, but the fact that they were involved in the company since inception. I'm extremely confident about this team and the leadership capabilities of both Jitesh and Hari to bring this business back on track quickly. And the board is very supportive of this decision. So I will stay through the call to answer any specific questions on a promoter rationale. But having said that, and since I have a non-executive role, I'll continue to stay invested and committed to the journey of Solara. I strongly believe that it has got all the right elements to build out into a high performing company, and we will see that emerging in the near future. With that, I also apologize to several of you who may have been confused with the recent changes that we made. But I think all of this, including today's corporate action decision behind us, the company can focus on the course correction journey and build out the business for the future. With this, I will let Jitesh and Hari to commence their opening remarks, and then I'll stay behind if there are any specific questions addressed to me. Thank you. Thank you, Jitesh.
Thank you, Arun. Good evening, everyone. It is good to be speaking to all of you in this forum after a while. I hope all of you are fine and in the best of health. Both Hari and I are pleased to be back to reset and steer Solara back to growth and profitability. We thank the founders and the board for reposing their trust and confidence in us. We also like to thank our investors for their confidence reposed in us during our first tenure at Solara. Since Solara's inception, we have been driving Solara, and our focus will be to review and grow the business on its key pillars consisting of IBU and non-IBU APIs, our continuous improvement programs including backward integration for our key APIs, new product introductions, and CRAMS. These four pillars have strengthened our position as a pure-play API company. We are optimistic about the future potential of Solara, mainly with capturing the opportunities in the core business where we see green shoots in the demand and converting inquiries into new business, file at least 6 new products in FY23, aggressive continuous improvement programs, and lastly, improving our success rate to secure new CRAMS business. We have short-term challenges on 2 of our key products, with price to revert to normalcy and increase in RM price due to current international situation, and we expect the same to normalize in the second half of this financial year. While this has impacted our gross margins, actions are in place to minimize the impact. Coming to our Cuddalore API facility, our regulatory track record with various agencies has been exemplary. Barring the OAI classification of our Cuddalore API facility due to ranitidine NDMA issues, we firmly believe that with US FDA inspections initiated, we are hoping for reclassification of our OAI status based on all the data points provided to US FDA. Our evidence of work done on ranitidine resulted in the restoration of our CEP back in July 2021. As of now, there are 10 new approvals pending reclassification of our Cuddalore OAI status. With the belief that the reclassification of our OAI status within the first half of this financial year, we have considered new sales in the second half. Coming to the under-recovery of our Vizag facility, let me recall our justification for our investment. there were three main reasons for investment. One, the expansion of capacity of our key products, new product filings, and backward integration of key intermediates. While the investments have been made, we expect to trigger the regulatory inspection in this financial year. Clearly, as we focus on the regulatory markets, the gestation period for sales is at least 24 months from when we complete validation batches. However, we are tapping opportunities in markets with no regulatory binding. With new products being introduced in this financial year and some being filed in Vizag, we are confident of minimizing our impact of under-recoveries in Vizag in this financial year. The rigor in continuous improvement programs have been reintroduced, and we expect to contribute improvement in gross margins from second half of this financial year. With the focus on all of these actions above, we are confident about the future prospects of Solara. I now hand over to Hari to take us through the financials for the last quarter, the Q4 FY22, and the year as a whole. Thank you again.
Thank you, Arun and Jitesh. I thank the founders and the board for the opportunity given. We are pleased to announce that quarter four financials along with the FY22 consolidated results. The key highlights are as follows. Our revenue for this Q4 at the 367, which is 90% of our historical run rate, and adjusted EBITDA at rupees 50 crores at 13.6% EBITDA rate. Our revenue for FY22 stood at 1,289 crores compared to the 1,645 crores of the previous year. Our gross margin for the quarter four at 44.1% and year as a whole at 47.6% as against compared to the 54.7% in FY21. We close out at FY22 consolidated EBITDA at 92 crores compared to the 400 crores in FY21. We recognize the fact that we have the work to do to improve our gross margin and EBITDA, which is due to the under-recoveries from Vizag facility and delay in the new product introduction. As Ritesh pointed out, we have identified key focus areas which will result in the improvement expected from second half of current financial year, that is FY23. We are conscious of the fact that our red book has increased over 50% as the funds deployed into the Vizag. Our immediate priority is to get the Vizag off the roads to achieve the break-even and profitable growth in the near term, including getting the facility triggered for inspection, which was delayed due to COVID. Our primary focus to achieve comfortable net debt to EBITDA run rate and improve our cash flow by prudent application of capital. We are pleased to inform you that our credit rate has been retained at A- for long-term and working capital. With the clear focus on the actions to improve profitability, we remain confident about growth prospects of Solara. Thank you.
Sanford, you can take the Q&A, please.
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star, then 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who wishes to ask questions, please press star, then 1. The first question is from Manish Gupta from Solidarity. Please go ahead.
Can you walk us through your slide 27, where you've cut the P&L into core business, R&D-led growth business, and the Vizag-led business? So in that, you show, if I take Q4, your revenue of R&D-led growth business is zero and Vizag-led growth business is zero. And the same thing is also true for the full year. And you have an EBITDA there of minus 54 for the R&D-led growth business and minus 58 crores for Vizag-led business. So when you have EBITDA of minus 54 and minus 58, what does that mean? Are you saying that this is the cost that you have apportioned to these businesses which is earning you no revenue right now?
Yes, Ari here.
Slide 27.
Correct. See, just to clarify that, we have bifurcated our current financials in quarter four as well as in year as a whole into three buckets. One is the core business, where is our main products are being undertaken. And R&D, and you know where the cost incurred. You rightly said that we have incurred a cost, you know, for this for the R&D facilities and R&D activities. And next is that the Vizag, where there is under recovery of, you know, due to the delay in the regulatory approval, and you know the regulator market sales cannot be taken place, and you know we not got the regulatory approval due to COVID delays. The delays have taken place for the inspection. So that's the reason that, you know, we have to incur the cost. But the depreciation and interest cost for the project has to be gone through the P&L. That's the impact that we are having in the up to the PAT level. And if you look at our core business, where we have made a current year on 367 crores and 40 crores of EBITDA, and here as a whole on 1,288 crores and 204 crores of EBITDA. So we are impacted by the delay in the new product introduction and the growth business, and the Vizag-led business, which is cost-based business, and we are not got any revenue for that. As per the Indian accounting standards, we have to charge off the revenue expenditure incurred on the Vizag, even though that, you know, we have started the operation but could not get the regulatory approval. So that's the reason in a transparent manner we are showing in our P&L.
Now, I'm sorry, I didn't understand that. If we just take the Vizag-led business as an example,
yes.
Minus, so you're saying there is 58 crore of fixed cost in Vizag?
Yes, yes.
Earning no revenue because this is EBITDA, right? So this does not include depreciation and interest.
Correct.
So there is a 58 crore fixed cost in Vizag which is earning no revenue.
Correct, last year. Correct.
And this is 53 crores of R&D-led growth business.
Correct, sir.
And therefore, one would have had, can you give us the same figures like you cut for fiscal year 22 for fiscal year 21 in these three buckets?
At present, I don't have, but then we can give, we'll ask our, we'll provide you, sir.
So, Manish, this is Arun, and for the benefit of the new management team, I can just try and put a little more color around your question. Typically, in the API business, when you have an R&D pipeline, you also seed new customers for new products. That revenue and margins that we normally make typically sets off the R&D spend. What that deck also says that our R&D flow through of new products and customer acquisition of new programs was not a great year for us in the last financial year. So that effect, that is for the first time it happened. So typically, when you do six or seven new products, you seed customers in the formulation space, and to a very large extent, your R&D is squared off. This is the first time in the history of Solara that in the last 12 months, we were not successful on that front. So that is why the revenue from that activity is shown as zero, while the costs have been incurred.
Yeah, sorry to push on this, but it's important for us to understand this. So, you know, when you say R&D led growth business, so last year you would have had some revenue. So when you say R&D led growth business, this would be perhaps new products, right?
The new products.
Correct.
So the way to look at this is that there was no revenue from new products in fiscal year 22. Is that right?
Correct.
Got it. So this and similarly, we say when you say Vizag led business, this is your Vizag plant. So revenue from the Vizag plant was zero.
Correct. The Vizag plant is an SEZ, and it has to be qualified by customers and by regulators. None of that happened last year simply because no regulatory inspections were happening. It is now commenced. We expect the site to be inspected during this fiscal year. We can also tell you that part of the investment on that plant was prepaid by a customer for volumes. So it is just a function of inspection and qualification of the site, which we expect to happen in this financial year, considering that audits are now commenced full swing.
Right. And my last question, Arun, is that when you say Vizag-led business, 58 crores, so bulk of this cost would be salary cost, right? Because if the plant is not operational...
Utilities, salaries, yeah.
Upkeep. so that we are getting ready the plant for any time inspection, so that you know, and HVAC maintenance, QC equipments maintenance, we have to be ready for inspection. That's the initial cost which you have to incur, sir.
Okay, great. So I have a few more questions. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who would like to ask questions, please press star, then one. The next question is from Rohit from Samatva Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on the regulated market. I remember in one of the previous calls, you had indicated that the regulated markets you want to sell directly to the customers and not through channel partners. I just wanted to know, how has the transition been? Have you been able to add any customers? In very general terms, if you could just give some idea on that.
Yeah. Hi, Rohit. This is Jitesh here. Yes, we have seen recoveries in our business in Q4, where our bulk of our business has been directly to the customers, and our dependency on channel partners have considerably reduced. And from a regulated market perspective, traditionally our business has always been direct. I would say 90% to 95% of our business has been direct.
Great. Okay, sir. My second question would be on the BASF facility in Germany. They had recently, you know, released a press release stating that they may, you know, halt production in their German facility due to, you know, the gas prices shooting up. So if you could just comment on that and, you know, how the market in general for IBU in the past one or two months in general.
So we wouldn't want to comment on the BASF part, but I can definitely talk about the demand for ibuprofen. So as we know, the last year has been not a good year for the IBU, but our demands have started coming back from our existing customers, as well as we are getting inquiries from new customers, which we hope to convert them into new business opportunities by supply of validation batches in this financial year. So as you can see, our revenue growth, our revenue is coming back to its historical levels. So our key products are starting to do well.
Great. So just one last question. On the CRAMS division, prior to, you know, when the merger was going to take place, I remember Aurore had a decent amount of CRAMS business within their portfolio. So now that the merger is not going through, how do you plan to scale up this division? And right now it's a very small percentage of the total revenues. How do you see that scaling up in the next maybe 2 to 3 years?
So while CRAMS contributes about 7 to 8% of our total revenues, is still a major focus for our growth. We are adding in new customers as well as we have also developed some new technologies which will give us an advantage in terms of securing new business. And as we speak, we are also building our CRAMS organization from a front-end perspective, where we would have a dedicated business development team member for looking after the North America market. So we do have one right now who focused on the Europe, and we are going to hire someone for the North America market.
Great. So if I could just squeeze in one more question. In the last call, you had indicated that in FY23, maybe second half, you will get back to your regular run rate of around 400 crores. For FY24 and 25, maybe, do you think that we can do around 500 crores of quarterly revenues?
So our focus right now, Rohit, is to strengthen the foundation of Solara to get back to its historical run rate. And then that we are seeing it from a revenue perspective. The next focus is in terms of how we improve our EBITDA margins, our gross margins, which has been traditionally at about 50 to 54%. We see that coming back in second half of this year. And then the continuous improvement programs in terms of improving our EBITDA margins. So right now, this is the focus for this year. And of course, once we strengthen the foundation and with Vizag facility getting, we are hoping the Vizag facility being inspected, the Cuddalore reclassification from the FDA point of view, as well as the new products, we have a target of filing at least 6 new products in this financial year, which can minimize the impact on the R&D cost, what we had last year. So yes, with all these growth prospects, we are with all these actions what we are taking, we are looking at building the business. I really would not be able to comment on the FY24, but you can see that there are the growth pillars clearly being actioned on.
Great, sir. Thank you so much, and I wish you all the very best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead. Excuse me, this is
inventory.
So sorry to interrupt, your voice is not clear. May I request you to use a handset, please?
Is it better now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Sir, on slide 11, there's a mention of increase in net debt on account of increased inventory buildup planned for COVID-related business. Now, the outlook for COVID itself is reduced, at least as we stand today. So, just would like to understand what happens to that inventory.
Yeah, Hari here. See, the COVID-related products, two products we have inventory, and one of the products is getting sold in quarter one and quarter two of this current financial year. And other products also we got a lot of planned for liquidation. There will not be any loss of sale, loss of inventory in account of COVID products. We have a liquidation plan, and we have got a customer commitment for the same.
But the realizations would have reduced drastically, or?
Yeah, we have reduced, in the quarter one and quarter two, it will get reduced. And by FY20, next financial year, it will become more or less, a reasonable level.
I think, Hari, the question is that will your price realization be lower?
No, price realization will not be lower. We have kept it at, that our price indication from the market is not that lower. It will be realized at a better price only.
Okay. Secondly, on the Vizag facilities, so some amount of business was to get transferred from Pondicherry to Vizag, primarily on account of better cost efficiencies at Vizag facility. So any color on that part?
So that's the plan, that we are building capacity for ibuprofen in Vizag. And, due to the regulatory delays, due to the external reasons of COVID, we could not, get this inspection. And once that Vizag inspection takes place, and we'll be relocating the capacity of, products from Pondicherry to Vizag.
And just lastly on Aurore, while when it had supernormal business performance, so that time itself it was very much evident that it is also due to COVID products. So, just would like to understand what happened in between, or rather, even at that time it was clear that the COVID products might, kind of be through for maybe a couple of years or 3 years maximum. And still we went ahead with the merger.
This is Arun here, I can address that. So the primary reason was that while the tactical margins that Aurore had at the time of the merger was adjusted quite significantly in favor of the multiples for the Solara shareholders, because we did do an adjustment on those profits. The key there was the non-COVID portfolio ramp-up that Aurore will achieve with a non-COVID program. While they have filed a lot of dossiers, it's not translated into business as yet. It is slowly picking up, but it would take a lot more time for it to achieve its numbers. And given the fact that there would be a reset of the multiples of the numbers based on now, that was the primary reason. So they probably also, Aurore has also been impacted by the fact that their new facility in Hyderabad has also not been inspected, which has also delayed quite significantly some of the larger ramp-up of the non-COVID products. So all in all, it didn't play out as planned, and as late as September, even though the numbers were not ramping up, we were still fully committed and invested into the process. But then it's been not a great last 6 months in terms of financial performance. So we think Aurore will take at least another year, year and a half for it to bounce back, and that would be a distraction for the core business at Solara.
Okay, sir. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from Monish from Antique Stock Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, everyone. So my first question is, if our Vizag site, you know, was idle, since it wasn't inspected by the FDA, why didn't we use this opportunity to sell products in the non-rack market?
Hi, this is Jitesh here. So, as Hari had mentioned, that one of the key products which we were looking at transferring to Vizag was Ibu. We had a lower demand in Ibu overall for the last year. And that has really impacted us, because when had this situation not happened, that was the plan in terms of selling it to markets where we had no regulatory binding. But overall, the Ibu demand itself for the last year was much lower than we were, which we even not had forecasted in our plans.
So, any forecast that we had for ibuprofen's demand for FY23 or beyond?
So,
and how we would have contributed both quarter?
Yeah. So we not. So yes, we do have plans, and ibuprofen is just not one API for us. We have multiple ibuprofen products within the umbrella of the Ibu business. So we are qualifying the other ibuprofens in the Vizag facility, and we are actively looking out for customers to sell the quantities what we are going to be producing. The goal for Vizag in this financial year is again to minimize the impact or the under recoveries what we have in Vizag, and we do have some plans from second half of this financial year. We are getting some commitments from customers to buy from Vizag.
Okay, but that will be pending the FDA clearance.
So I'm talking about the markets where we don't have regulatory binding, because even in the markets where we don't have regulatory binding, we still have to give some documentation in terms of at least the minimal documentation. And once that is completed, we start expecting sales from second half.
Okay. And any non-IBU products which are going to be potential growth drivers that you would like to call out?
Yes, we do have the non-IBU products where the Solara's position is pretty strong. We have products like gabapentin, cefalexin carbonate, praziquantel, and we are acquiring new customers. Because in some products like the cefalexin carbonate, we were just focused in the U.S. market just based from the demand perspective. But we have tapped new markets also for cefalexin carbonate, where we are seeing some opportunities for new business to come in.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mitesh Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my questions. I just start with the macro level. What is the cost inflation right now in the raw material side, our power cost and the freight cost?
The raw material cost, due to the current situation of the between the international market conflict, there is the raw material price are really, some of the key material has gone up nearly by 30% to 40%. We can say that, even the solvent prices, gas prices, and the propylene prices, toluene prices, all the solvents have gone up by more than 40%. And even the metal prices have gone up, chrome prices, chrome-related product. So there's an overall increase in the price of the gas-related product and, the metal-related products we have seen, affecting the input prices of our raw material.
So, do you expect that to cooling down in near term, or it will remain?
Yeah, once that the situation normalized in the international market, I think it's only temporary. Everybody's taken advantage of that and increased the prices. It will come to normal by second quarter, we hope so.
And the freight charges are also now elevated, right?
Pardon?
Freight charges is also on an elevated level.
our transportation is mainly by sea only, and you know that it does not impact it much. So that you know, last year level only we can see the freight charges for that. For most of our consumers are in by sea freight only.
And any chances or in the future we are looking for a road for the merger or this chapter is completely closed?
No, so let me address that. At this time, it is best to say that the chapter is closed, and the company to focus on its organic reset and focus on its balance sheet. It's not that we'll shy away from doing transactions, but I think the focus for the next several quarters is to get the business back to where it used to be, and that itself is a big task. So you can't be distracted away from the strategic goal. So that's where we are.
Got it. And my last question would be: you have given the 19.7% EBITDA margin adjusting of the inventory changes and the Vizag. You explained about the Vizag, and I thought the inventory is adjustment done almost all the part on the Q3. So what is that inventory adjustment in the Q4 right now?
Hari here. In the Q4, the production level is very, very low, and whatever the inventory we had as of end December got sold. So due to that, you know, there is a decrease in inventory, and which is reflected in our financials. At this production level be normal, this inventory reduction will not be there. So that's what, you know, we have just highlighted properly that, you know, this inventory reduction, opening stock got sold, and much less production activity during Q4.
Got it. So that would be expected to be normalized in 2H, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the purpose we have highlighted, sir.
Got it. And what is the ibuprofen price right now?
So at this point of time, it is anywhere the average of $11 to $12 a kilo.
Thanks a lot, sir. That's it for my end.
Thank you. The next question is from Thomas Priju from Alchemy Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I had only one specific question for Arun. While the logic for calling off the Oro deal is well taken, the only lingering concern is from a shareholder perspective, we would have ideally preferred a scenario where your interest is in only one listed entity. So how does, you know, how should we view that? That you would still have a shareholding in the company which is separate, and that is, we would, ideally as a shareholder, one would prefer you to have all your ownership in one listed entity. You know, is there some way to address that dichotomy?
There is a way, Thomas, and that is an easy way. I am in the process of exiting my interest in Aurora consequent to this decision. It's a process of 3 to 6 months, and I am very focused on governance and compliance, as you probably know me for too long to discuss this matter. The reason why we brought all the interests together was the two companies are doing well. Currently, both companies are not, and if we are very, very confident of strongly rebuilding Solara to where it should be. We are very significant stakeholders in Solara, and we intend to do that, including we to be more invested. So our interest in the next 6 months will be fully committed and aligned only in Solara.
Thanks a lot, Arun, for the clarification. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Bhaskar Bukrediwala from Arthya Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the question. The question was on this R&D-led growth business. So where you're sort of showing the EBITDA 54 crore. The question is, so this is all research and development expense for new products, right? Because and the whole research expense is getting, nothing is getting capitalized. Everything is basically passed through the P&L.
Yeah, Hari here, correct, sir. Nothing is being capitalized. Everything is routed through the P&L.
Okay. So, I mean, this 54 crore is what is routed through P&L, and beyond this, there is no single rupee that is getting in the balance sheet.
No, nothing is getting in the balance sheet. We all, normally our accounting policy is all the routed through P&L only. That's consistently being followed. And you know, we are not held back any intangible assets in financial books pertaining to the new product development.
Okay. And going forward, so given this is the expenditure for developing new products, going forward from a annual run rate perspective, and specifically for FY23 and 24, what would be the expenditure on new products? Would the same run rate of 54-55 crore continue, or there is there could be a revisit to this?
We are rationalizing the spend. I know judicially we, you know, we don't expect more than this, but we are working on how it can be optimized.
One question on your non-IVU business. So if you can help understand both this quarter and otherwise, how has been your non-IVU business on existing products scaling up? And I'm assuming that once new filings happen next year, that will further help to drive the non-IVU sales. So if you could give some sense on the existing products which are already approved, which you have selling, and some of the products which you would have bought, which are currently small, how are they sort of shaping up in terms of the growth?
Yeah, hi, this is Jitesh here. So on the non-IBU business, there too for our key products, we are seeing the recovery coming back. The last year has also been a little dull for you know, products like Oseltamivir, Succinylcholine and Chloride. And now as we step into this financial year, when we looked at our numbers, we are seeing a demand coming back for the non-IBU business, especially led by gabapentin and sevelamer carbonate, praziquantel. So what we have done, the actions what we have taken in the last 3 to 4 years, all these products where we have a good position from a cost point of view, we have also done market extensions for these products. And those market extensions are now fructifying in terms of the approvals coming in and the new demands coming in from new customers as well as from new regions.
Okay. Would you be able to give some guidance in terms of next 2-3 years? How do you see this non-IVU business doing?
So we don't give a revenue split between the IBU and the non-IBU, but I can assure you that the non-IBU business will continue to grow. And in the non-IBU business, we don't consider the new products. So as Arun had alluded earlier, the new products usually cover the cost of the R&D expenses, what we spend, because we do validation batches, and those validation batches are sold to the customers for filing purposes. So the new products, like for example, the 6 new products we have plans in terms of filing for this financial year would give us some revenues in this year as well as in the next financial year. So it's more like a rolling as we keep doing or introduce new products.
Okay. Got it. And one just last question. The API prices in general, I mean, apart from IBU demand related issues being a bit weak, So we've seen the same in U.S. generic formulation market. So as the U.S. generic market starts to see some pricing pressure being reduced, do we see the same sort of translating into better API pricing in terms of our ability to then pass on or get better realization from the formulation players?
So in the past, you know, we had similar situations where, you know, the raw material price had increased, and we had to wait and watch because you just can't pass on the price increase. Even for a formulation player, it does not happen immediately. We just have to wait, because is it temporary or is it going to be a 6 months or a 1 year? So when we assess the situation and we know that the raw material price is not temporary, then we do discuss with our customers, and then we either pass on or we take, at least we pass on 50% of the cost, and then they bear 50% of the cost. More or less, the pricing has been stable, especially except for IBU, where there has been a reduction in the price, and we are working on the continuous improvement programs for all our products. and that's been one of our adding contributor to the EBITDA margins in the previous financial years.
Got it. And just small last question, if I can squeeze in. What is the CAPEX program now that your balance sheet has got some bit of debt and there's a lot of realignment? Any rethink on the organic CAPEX plans for next 2 years? What sort of guidance would you like to give there?
In FY23, we have to incur nearly 100 crores organic CAPEX to support the ongoing investments in Vizag and other in maintenance CAPEX. It will be around 100 crores will be the capital expenditure for FY23.
And it includes maintenance CAPEX as well.
Yes.
Okay, sure. Thanks so much. That's all for me.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take the last two questions. We take the question from the line of Shikha Mehta from Equitree Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just have a follow-up question to one of the participants. I think you mentioned that the revenue from new products was zero. And in our presentation, it says it was 5% on slide 31. So if you could just clarify that.
Yeah, so just to clarify, see, we can't break up business into too many buckets, but the new products, when we say 5%, these are the new products which were developed earlier and, you know, had a commercial launch in the previous financial year. So that's the revenue which we are talking about is from the 5%. So we have an internal policy where we declassify a new product post 2 years of commercial revenue.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the last question from the line of Manish Gupta from Solidarity. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So this is a question for Arun. Rather, there are two questions, Arun. Arun, if you can, you know, last year when the merger with Aurora was announced, there was a very explicit vision laid out that we needed to be a billion-dollar company, which needed to have new products. There was a $250 million or so bridge that would come from acquisitions. You know, now that things seem to have completely turned on its head, how, you know, we are all minority shareholders, but you're at the wheel. So can you help us understand what now in your book, based on your vantage point, what would be, how would you define success for Solara over the next, let's say over the next 5 years?
Great, yeah, great question. So, you know, we are, as capital allocators and entrepreneurs in this business for too many years, focused on building scale. Nothing in that book changes in terms of our vision to become an important global player. And nothing is going to stop us from doing this. We are facing, not only us, the industry is facing temporary headwinds. Initially, there was an exuberance around COVID for stocking, which finally resulted to irrational exuberance of overstocking. That's resulted in kind of companies destocking and getting off of inventory, resulting in this roller coaster ride that most of the industry has gone through. That's the business environment that we operate. Is that going to change our views on building this business to scale? The answer is no. Can we do this organically? The answer is also not, is not yes. We have to have an inorganic element to this business. But we need to steady the ship. The headwinds of ibuprofen, in our view, is temporary. It's a critical product. We have been in the market for 30 years. We have sold only 40% of our annual demand last year. We see business bouncing back. Our focus now is to ensure that we do not have under-recoveries in Vizag, bring our debt to EBITDA to a reasonable level, and we will continue to pursue opportunities which are inorganic in nature. But I don't think the vision has moved. Maybe the timing has shifted, and that would be the same answer you will receive from any other entrepreneur in the space who has face these challenges. These are not unique to us. Of course, we had very significant sort of mini missteps in the last several quarters. But I think we now have got our act together back. We've got the team that we, the team that build this business, or what we call as the dream team, back to run the business. We have a board which is very supportive, and I'm very, very confident that we will still emerge amongst the top 10 global players. We probably will take 2 more years, but that is to do with the circumstances in the business environment that we operate in.
And the second part of my question, that let's take a 5-year view. How would you define success? What should Solara have reached in about 5 years from now?
Well, I think, you know, success can be measured in so many, many ways. I will not put a revenue number to it. I think that to be a preferred API supplier, to be a high-quality player, to have regulated markets as its primary focus, having more portfolio to have different level, different chemistry capabilities, getting into new areas, building a CRAMS business of scale. If we don't achieve all of this, we would have failed in many subsects of this definition of success.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Singhal for closing comments.
Thank you all for joining us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You all have a good day.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Solara Active Pharma Sciences Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.